Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Let's talk about the recent Grinsell debacle that's thrown a spotlight on the hardly discussed business of supply chain finance, or let's call it SCF.
Well, have a look at the background, or listen to the background of the saga. The Australian parent of failed specialist finance firm Grinsell Capital recent collapse sparked worldwide corporate fallout and a political scandal in the UK. It has entered into liquidation.
Yeah, the company had filed for bankruptcy for its operations in Britain, where its parent group is based, and of course Germany, where it has a backing arm.
Now, Grinsell's implosion also threatened about 50,000 jobs at companies that relied on its supply chain financing, which includes the steel empire of Indian British billionaire Sanjeev Gupta.
So that's the background on that situation. SCF is far from being new. It's actively used even back in the Middle Ages, if you think about it.
Oh.
Yeah. So while the Grinsell crisis may put some off supply chain finance, Asia can't actually turn away from it.
Small and medium enterprises account for more than 98% of all businesses in the region and for 50% of the workforce. And they are also usually the firms that most rely on SCF to continue operation.
Well, let's try and understand SCF a little bit more and what it means for this region. On the line with us this morning is Vivek Luthra, who is Managing Director, Supply Chain and Operations for Asia Pacific, Middle East, Latin America and Africa at Accenture. Vivek, good morning. How are you?
Very good morning to you. I'm good.
Let's talk about supply chain financing. Obviously, it's a form of financial transaction wherein a third party facilitates an exchange by financing the supplier on the customer's behalf. But could you give us a bit of background behind this financing model, a bit of history, and in your own words, what is it for the region?
Sure. Look, I think supply chain financing, as you said, has been around for a while back. You know, Financial Times dates it back as 4,000 years old. Simply put, supply chain finance is a way in which a large buyer would basically work with a financial institution and pay its smaller suppliers upfront for a small fee, and also in return from the financial institution get better terms for itself. So it kind of becomes a win-win both for the buyer in terms of better payment terms, for the supplier because they can get access to good cash, which is so very important for the smaller suppliers. And overall, it kind of benefits in growing the business, even more so in today's times with so much of economic volatility. So really, you know, while it has been in the news for a lot of not the best of reasons, but essentially, if you see, supply chain could really become a lifeline for, you know, for large number of suppliers to be able to pay their employees, to be able to grow their business, to be able to manufacture products and services that they supply to the bigger companies. So, you know, I think it's quite a important part of the overall ecosystem in terms of creating liquidity and making, you know, smaller suppliers thrive and better overall, you know, business ecosystem.
Vivek, let's address the growing misconception about supply chain finances. What are these misconceptions and why are there misconceptions around this?
Sure. Look, there are a few things. Right? I think a couple of things are around, you know, the visibility around the end-to-end supply chain. So, for example, there has been quite a debate and talks on, you know, how do you make sure that the buyers who avail of such facility are being able to clearly call them out. Suppliers who are using those, you know, some of the things around what kind of payment terms do you really extend to suppliers? You know, what kind of, what does it mean from an overall credit worthiness of the buyers itself. So some of those issues are linked today in terms of the misconceptions. As, you know, technology is coming to the forefront here with some of the new technologies around distributed ledgers, which are helping make these things much more visible, transparent, and overall the risk could be managed much better. You know, even in fact, companies like Accenture are really bringing together human and technology ingenuity to work with a lot of companies on, you know, building these platforms which can kind of really help bring the right kind of visibility and make sure that the best returns can be passed on to both buyers and suppliers as they embark on this objective.
Oh, Vivek, that's really quite a bit to take in there. I just wanted to dive deeper based on everything you talked about, these misconceptions, right? It's interesting you bring those up. What kind of implications do they have if we were to zoom into Asia-Pacific as a region that you're somewhat in charge of? You know, how does that affect the importance of supply chain finance within our region?
Sure, I think it's a great question. Within our region, about 98% of all businesses are smaller suppliers. And half of the workforce is actually from smaller suppliers. So you can imagine the impact of suppliers not having access to be able to finance, to be able to help pay their employees, grow their businesses. Specifically in our region, there's a lot of intertrade, which means, trade financing becomes important. The intensity in terms of just the number of shared employees which are hired by the sector is very important. So specifically, from our region perspective, how the supply chains are interwoven, where you manufacture, where they get consumed, makes it very interesting. And hence, to keep the system thriving, it is very important, specifically from our region, to have a lot of liquidity in the system, to have the smaller suppliers grow their businesses, to keep the overall ecosystem going. It makes it very particular, from our Asia-Pacific region perspective.
So what are the benefits then, Vivek, of supply chain finance? With all the benefits that it provides, why does it seem to be lagging as well in terms of adoption in the region?
Sure. I think it's a great question for two key reasons. One, some of our economies in our region have been very cashless economies. Mm-hmm. In the past, largely this has been driven by cash. But with the pandemic, there is a real economic volatility. Cash is truly becoming the king and at the center of things. So I think that thing is triggering off a lot more need for the need to be financed, for example. I think the second thing, in our region specifically, why things have been a little bit lagging is in terms of digitalization and adoption of technology itself. If you see over the last 36 to 48 months, there has been so much progress made in terms of frontier technologies like distributed ledger, which can make the cost of access to this kind of function, ability to be able to have visibility end-to-end at a fraction of the cost than what was being done earlier. And in some cases, this technology was not even possible. So really, two reasons. One, in terms of being a very cash-rich economy, suppliers have taken time and buyers have taken time to adopt this. And second is the coverage from a technology perspective, the advances which have been made from a technology perspective, which are now making this possible, with huge offtake in terms of suppliers wanting to be able to leverage this.
Vivek, so am I, just to clarify your last answer, are you saying that because of the pandemic, that's enough to trigger a potential supply chain crisis or concern for a potential supply chain crisis? Yes, we've dealt with it to the best that we can. Technology is the answer in terms of ensuring we don't have the same problems as we did at the start of the pandemic. Is that even possible?
I think that's a great point. I think technology is a large part of the answer. I think companies are right now digitalizing whatever they could. You can imagine the health crisis led to a economic crisis, which means ability to be able to be resilient in your business has come to the forefront. While for years companies have been focusing on optimizing just-in-time kind of techniques when they have modeled and implemented supply chains, so you would, manufacture in one place where you could get the benefits in terms of supplies, workforce, and so on and so forth. Then you will move the materials across different countries and keep only inventories to the extent which are really needed. So a lot of focus over the years has been in optimizing supply chain. But come, the pandemic, I think it has exposed a lot of vulnerabilities, with manufacturing lines down, in some places not being able to move goods across countries, whether it's transportation network issues and so on and so forth. So you can imagine what COVID-19 has kind of exposed is that businesses which are not very resilient have kind of suffered more than the others. What that means is resiliency could be built in by having the right kind of technology infrastructure. You have complete visibility over your end-to-end supply chain. Second thing is, with the pandemic, the consumer habits are changing. customer acceptance is doing a lot more at home, like, you know, listening to your program and so on and so forth, which means that supply chain now have to be able to offer differentiated products and services. A customer no longer is going to the retail store to buy. They are expecting things to come at their home, most probably between 3 to 4 o'clock, with a knock on the door, left at the curb, and so on and so forth. So all this has resulted in companies needing to have different and new types of skill sets. And that's where I think technology comes into picture, whether it's managing demand or it is, you know, making sure that there is resiliency in managing supply across the end-to-end supply chain. So really, technology has become truly a large part of the answers. Companies are investing to digitalize whatever they can today to make sure that their businesses are more resilient than they ever were.
Okay, very quickly, Vivek, where do we go from here, the future of supply chain finance?
I think that's a good question. So going from here, from a supply chain finance perspective, I think businesses are realizing that if there was any time where they were placing more importance on being responsible, is now. A lot of corporations, businesses are investing in making sure that, you know, their suppliers are able to access these facilities in these periods of economic volatility. So that's number one. Responsibility has really become very important for companies as they think about their supply chain and supply chain financing. The second part is around the overall resiliency. Companies are digitalizing, they're investing in making businesses resilient, which means they're driving towards what we call, you know, autonomous supply chains. It takes different forms in different markets. I mean, when we work here in Southeast Asia, we work with a number of companies over the last 12 months to improve their forecasting accuracy. Why is it important? It is important because, you know, in the past, you know, the e-commerce sales have been booming. If you see the channels which are growing, are e-commerce sales. But guess what? The cost of an e-commerce sales, you know, from a supply chain perspective, is 3 to 5 times that of a conventional channel. So companies have to kind of, you know, keep kind of investing in technology, which will give them more business resilience. And last part about supply chain obviously becomes that how do you actually move from being focusing on, you know, optimization to actually growth. As customers' needs are changing, supply chain needs to get ready to be able to offer customers what they want in the manner they want. So really those three are the things which are driving the future of the supply chain in our region.
Supply chain autonomy, which would improve the growth forecasting and, of course, moving from optimizing to actual growth. Really good points brought up by Vivek Luthra, who is Managing Director, Supply Chain and Operations for Asia Pacific, Middle East, Latin America and Africa for Accenture. Vivek, thanks so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.